Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. A lot going on this week, Coach. We've got IU basketball recruits verbaling. We've got the Pacers making it to a game seven. We've got a multitude of sporting events to talk about, and I'm sure you're ready to go.
Well, you know, Joe, we've already had a spirited discussion before we went on the air. We won't divulge or share everything we were speaking about, but there is a lot going on, folks. The NBA playoffs, whether you think the talent is where it should be or shouldn't be, we've got the seventh game final for three teams. It's the first time ever that three teams will go in the first round seven game series, and it could actually continue on tomorrow. And of course, the Pacers, what a win, Joe. I mean, if you were a Pacer fan, you have been through a roller coaster of emotion, Joe. A roller coaster of emotion. The Hawks come into Indianapolis. We play horrible, and I mean the Pacers. We play horrible. The last 9 minutes, we decide to make some roster adjustments. Coach Vogel did a great job. The team comes back, but ends up short. But check your Twitter, folks. That's right, Coach K did. I tweeted immediately after that game that could the last 9 or 10 minutes of that game in Indy, even though it was a loss for the Pacers, the way the Pacers played, with the energy they played, with the enthusiasm that they played, a different lineup, folks. They went with a smaller lineup. I'm not saying that's the answer forever. I'm saying it was the answer in the last 9-10 minutes of that game and in the game in Atlanta. Would that be the stepping stone to the Pacers going on to win this series? Well, let me tell you this. I'm no prophet, obviously. Coach K does speak the truth. The Pacers go into Atlanta. They go with a little bit different starting lineup, and really throughout the game. West is huge. He's a beast in that game. In the last 7 minutes of the game, he was just wonderful. The Pacers went on a 16-3 or 4 run late in the game. He was tough. He was tough. Hibbert didn't score again, but he did have some good minutes, folks. And if you're a basketball guy, I mean, if you really understand the game, you could see that he did play well at times, but nothing close. But the Pacers didn't count on him. They counted on West. Mahimi was tough. You guys might say, well, he didn't score. He was tough defensively. He altered some shots late in the game that ended up going the Pacers' way. We were able to took the lead. We held the lead. We lost the lead. We got the lead back and then held on for a 95. Joe, you're a Pacer fan. You just had to be sitting there thinking, oh, is this ride over yet?
I don't know. I've become a pessimist, you know, because I didn't get to watch the game, but when I found out the Pacers won, I was excited. But in the back of my mind, I thought the way the Hawks have played at Conseco, maybe they have us where they want us.
Well, the old Conseco, Bankers Life now, but your
point Bankers Life, made, sorry.
Your point is well made. The Pacers have not played well at Bankers Life, but they did have that nice 9.5-minute run in Game 5. And, folks, I really believe that the the Hawks, and I'm not saying the Hawks can't win this game, but they have to be mentally shaken from not being able to hold their serve and win at home. Not to say that, hey, if you win a playoff round, you know, folks, it's like winning a sectional in high school or winning the first round of the NCAA tournament. You don't care whether it's at home, on your home court, or on the road. You just want to win. But this bodes well for the Pacers with all that was on them. I mean, they had nothing to focus on. You know, people made a big deal about them being the number one seed in the East. So they're looking at the forest. They're looking at the forest. But last night, they only had to look at one tree. We got to win this game to survive. And maybe that's what the Pacers needed to do. Now, I also think they made a smart move going to a smaller lineup. Not necessarily because it was smaller, but because Hibbert mentally has not been who Hibbert needs to be. And sometimes as a coach, and I've done it on the high school level, sometimes you got to say to this guy that you know should be starting, play this position, you just got to say, we got to go with somebody else right now because he can't get it done the way it is. Now, that doesn't mean that Roy Hibbert can't come back in game seven or in the next round if the Pacers can go on and win. That doesn't mean that he can't come back and be a starter going forward, but sometimes you make that adjustment. It's good for the player. It's good for the team. And no matter what we think about it, it was a good move by the coaching staff. It was just a good game. There were several times late when maybe having Hibbert out of the lineup allowed West to have that room to work and take that ball to the basket. Because he does a great job. Joe, you got to admit it. West does a great job, even from that perimeter area of that opening up that lane and then taking that ball strong to the basket. The Pacers didn't shoot that well, folks. They missed some big shots down the stretch, too. But defensively, they had the stops, took advantage of some opportunities, hit some free throws. It's a big win for the Pacers. Now, before we talk a little bit more about the Pacers and the possibility Paul George won't be playing, we'll talk a little bit about that in a second, but I do want to cover who's on the show today. In the first hour, Don Schulteis, our indie contributor and our new person handling our new segment, When You're Hot, You're Hot, When You're Not, You're Not. He'll be on at 10:25 Eastern. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com. We're going to be talking about the things going on up at IU, new recruits, the schedule for the ACC Big Ten tournaments come out. Purdue's on that schedule at 10:45. And then in our second hour, Kyle Medenriff will be on, the Indianapolis Star, high school hoops beat writer. Does a great job. You ought to be following his tweets. Constant barrage of high school sports through Kyle. He'll be on at 11:15. And Joe, one note for you and I. For you and I had a tweet from Ed David. I don't think he's trying to get on the show. He just tweeted me. And he said, hey, last week the show cut off before you guys had thanked the guests or talked about following on the podcast. Don't forget that in the future. Okay, Ed David, thank you for your comments. And Joe and I will make sure with a few minutes left, Joe, you can interrupt me. We'll make sure we thank our guests and let people know that the live show may be ending and you can get the rest of the show on podcast. So, Joe, let's get back to this Paul George situation. I don't know if you're aware of it. I would think you would be because you are Joe of the Coach K and Joe Show. Paul George is in jeopardy, and the NBA is going to make a decision in a couple of hours. Paul George is in jeopardy, folks, of not playing in Game 7 of this opening series against the Hawks at Bankers Life. He left the bench during an altercation. Even though he didn't really do anything, he wasn't that involved, he did leave the bench. The rule says if you leave the bench during a situation like that, it's suspension. It's this question is, will they follow the letter of the law, Joe, or will they follow the spirit of the law?
Well, as a Pacer fan, I hope they don't follow the law because the law is the law. But, you know, but boy, you know, you're that, but game seven, you'd think, God, you can't be without him. But at the same time, in not defending Paul George, he did what he did, and, you know, they are pretty clear on the consequences. So if it does come down that he can't play, I won't be happy. But I wouldn't be one to question it, because if you leave the bench, you know, you leave the bench. And you've got to think about that. You've got to keep cool head. You know, he's a professional athlete. And, you know, the one thing about the Pacers that's kind of drove me crazy over the last month is, I'm sure you remember on podcasts, multiple podcasts, me making the comment that the Pacers, no troubles, they get along, they're just not thugs, blah, 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 blah. They've made me question that a little bit. I mean, not because of him leaving the bench. I'm just saying with the troubles they've had and stuff. I mean, you know, we're on the outside looking in. We don't know what's going on the inside. But I questioned my comments about that earlier in the season. But at the same time, getting back to the Paul George situation, I mean, you know, if it comes down he can't play, I mean, what do you say? What's your opinion of it?
I say he plays. I say that sometimes, you know, you have a rule, but you have to really look at that rule. And if anything, if they want to send a message, and not alter the playoff situation, suspend him and say he can't play in the first quarter. He has to sit. But don't take him out of the game for what really was, I call it more of a gut reaction, a teammate reaction. He wasn't really the altercation. And I just don't want to see a team like the Atlanta Hawks or the playoffs altered in a way because of a teammate reaction. He wasn't out there wielding fists, and he wasn't in somebody's face. He got up, he moved towards, and then he got away. Listen, the Pacers, Hibbert can't score right now. If you take George out of the lineup completely, that's 20 points guaranteed, gone. Now, we did get some help from George Hill the other night. Stevenson, we don't know what he's going to do. He was 7-13 last night, took some crazy shots late. Fortunately, the Pacers were able to overcome him. I think you make a good point. I think you're making a further point here, Joe. I think you're thinking the way, and you know, our indie contributor Don Schulteis has told us, and some other comments we've gotten from people, the Pacers for so much of this year showed themselves to be a heady team, a focused team, a team of guys who understood. But as things started to fall apart, some of the cracks in the Pacers' foundation started to show maybe some off-the-court situations. But again, and I'm not making excuses for them, but people are people. We had the Donald Sterling situation. Doesn't matter how much money you've got, people. It doesn't make you a person who doesn't say or do stupid things or be ignorant about things. We'll talk a little bit about the Clippers situation. We have to, Joe, even though a lot of people are, you know, feel like it's been tough. I had several text messages wanting our thoughts on the Sterling situation, and we'll give that later in the show. But, Joe, I think you make a great point. Is some of the weaknesses, immaturity, off-the-court situations for the Pacers, has that creeped in to the on-court? And are we seeing symptoms of that with the way Roy Hibbert's playing, the way Stevenson's playing, and even Paul George losing it for just a few seconds? I would hate to think that those couple of seconds could cost the Pacers an exciting Game 7 opportunity at Bankers Life. I do not think the NBA would be sending a message that really bodes well to any individual or the NBA itself. If they want to suspend him for the first quarter. Heck, Joe, the first quarter of a game without Paul George, the first quarter of that game, then that'd be tough. That'd be tough for the Pacers. They'll have to really lock down and play well.
Well, yeah, it'd be interesting. When is that announcement supposed to be made?
I'm hearing in the next couple hours. So maybe if you're listening for our listeners, if you get any info on the Paul George situation, please text Joe and I as quickly as you can. You can call the show as well, obviously, 773-897-6325. Again, the number, if you want to call on the show and be a part of the show, this is your show, folks. We want to hear what you got to say. Yeah, keep it a little bit under cuff there. But, you know, we say some things, too. 773-897-6325. Or you can text me directly. No cost to you, 812-480-9449. Joe, what's your text to the show?
812-630-2449. Text us or call or you can get on our Facebook page, Coach K and Joe Show, and you can ask a question there. I monitor that during the show as well. So if you want to put something just on there, I'll be more than happy to include it in the show.
Well, you know, folks, you know, I think this Paul George situation is critical for the Pacers, but I'll tell you what, we are breathing a sigh of relief. The only one that I would want to listen to right now, if we were having somebody from the Pacers, of course, I'd love to have Larry Bird or Frank Vogel. Boom, baby. Wouldn't it be great to have him on the show and find out what he's got to say about it? But Pacers, we're still alive. We've been through the roller coaster. And, folks, people have been very opinionated nationally, Midwest, statewide, and every fan on the Pacers, what has been the debacle of the Pacers during this first round of the playoffs against the Atlanta Hawks. It bodes a question, Joe. It bodes a question. Is what's going on in the NBA with all these seventh game playoffs, you know, to get to the seventh game in all these first-round playoffs is kind of interesting, it really could happen. It really could happen that all the games could end up that way. But my point is, Joe, does that speak to parity in the NBA in a good way, or does it speak to NBA parity? Is this league just too young and too inexperienced that maybe we're not seeing as good a basketball as we think we are because the playoffs are going that long?
Well, you know, you got to ask the question. You know, a lot of these people that are coming out of the NCAA, you know, are they ready for the NBA? And I'd say the answer for a lot of them are they're not quite ready. They're picked more on potential. That's why I keep reading potential. You know, when A.J. Hammonds was looking into the NBA, well, people said, well, he may not, you know, be ready for it right now, but he might be picked up by a team for potential. Well, you pick A.J. Hammond for potential. Well, you've got a big man, but you've got a big man that's not going to add a whole lot to your team right now. And they, you know, every year there's just so many of these kids. I mean, when you look at the projections for the draft, how many of them are underclassmen? I mean, you know, I think that possibly the sophomore or junior that comes out might be a little more ready. But, you know, a lot of the freshmen, you know, what would be really interesting to see, and we'll have to look into this maybe for next week, is over the last 4 or 5 years, Kentucky's sent how many people to the NBA, but how is each of them doing? Have they reached their potential? Are they still on a roster? Have they made big strides for that team? And that'll be something that I'll research for us for next week.
Well, there's Joe. You make good points. Obviously, the Charlotte, whatever they are right now, Anthony Davis has not been able to do much yet. I mean, he's okay. So, you know, everybody's going on potential, and you're right, Joe. So I don't know if the playoffs are exciting because we've got good basketball, or it's exciting because there's no high-level players other than what you get on the Miami Heat and different places like that. Before we go to our first break, and then we come back with our new segment, started it last week with indie contributor Don Schultheis, When You're Hot, You're Hot, When You're Not, You're Not, I do want to bring up the Clippers situation. And I know, folks, we've spent 2 weeks, well, a week, dealing with Donald Sterling, owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. He's running around with a 28, 30-year-old gal. He's 80. We find out today he's suffering from prostate cancer. I'm not here to pile on Donald Sterling, but I am here to say this. First of all, I don't think he should be forced to sell his team. That, first of all, the NBA Constitution allows the owners to get together and do that, and he should. He hurt the league. He hurt the partners. He's not the guy to be in the league. I will not say what some people said on Twitter and different social media. Well, they should make him sell the team and take the money and give it to other people. Folks, Donald Sterling, good, bad, or ugly, made a $15 million investment back in 1980 or 81. Good, bad, or ugly, he put out his money. Good, bad, or ugly, that investment grew to what they're saying is a $700 million team. Good or ugly, bad owner, bad person, ignorant person, it's his money. We don't steal people's money in this country. But, yeah, there are thieves out there, and you can say Donald Sterling's a thief, but that doesn't make us right to be a thief. So get him out of the league, put the team in someone else's hands, but remember, his ignorance is not a reason for us to go to his level and start stealing or taking. He made comments in private that he should not have made. And that goes back to a whole other issue, privacy issue, freedom to say what you want. And, folks, I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way, listeners. But Donald Sterling, ignorant or not, in his statements, stupid in his statements, hateful in his statements, in this country you have freedom of speech. We don't like everything that the people say. I don't like things that Stephen A. Smith said, but yet ESPN gives him a forum to be and say whatever he wants. And sometimes he doesn't say some very nice things. But we don't. You have a freedom to say that. Now, there are consequences, legal consequences, and social consequences when you do that. And Donald Sterling, in a private conversation, he was outed. Now, that says something about his personal life and what he's doing at age 80 and you know, all that other stuff. But the guy's a billionaire. He thought he was above all things with his money, and he found out that that's not true. And I think Adam Silver made a great decision. You know, people criticize him saying, well, that was the only decision he could have made. Not, he had a choice. He had a choice for an indefinite suspension. He had a choice to say indefinite suspension, but he gets to keep ownership of the team. And, folks, no matter what we want to say, the players of the NBA do not own the league. They are the reason we watch the league. But the people who own the teams and invest their money and the fans that put their money out there, we are the ones that make the league. Without fans, without the owners investing the money, the players don't have a reason to be in the league. You know, it was 30 years ago when the NBA wasn't so great. So I believe the players, as you know, have to rally and they have to say, this is not what we should have in the league because you don't want that from players. And that's the truth. And the standard that we're holding the owners to, we should hold the players to. They shouldn't make those comments either. I can remember, Joe, I don't know if you remember, but I can remember Dennis Rodman making a statement about Larry Bird, the referee's favorite Larry Bird, that he made a play that wasn't that great, but because he was white, it became a big deal. So I'm going to leave it there. Donald Sterling should be out of the league. Donald Sterling shouldn't get to be an owner. Donald Sterling made ignorant and hateful comments. Doesn't matter whether they were private or not. He got outed because of the kind of lifestyle he's been leading. But we shouldn't take the money from him. That's not our right. It was his investment. We have capitalism in this country. We have democracy in this country. We have freedom of speech in this country. And when you have those freedoms, when you have those social things, you're going to have the downside to them. This is Coach K. We're going to go to break. Don Schulteis is coming back with When You're Hot, You're Hot. When You're Not, You're Not. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show with the new and popular, growing in popularity. I had a couple people comment, when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. Our new segment with Indy High School basketball contributor Don Schulteis. Don, welcome to the show. A little when you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not music to bring you on for our segment.
Well, that's a great lead-in, Coach, to the segment. And Jerry Reed, he just sings that song so well and gets me fired up to go through these, because we got a hot list this week again on the hot, you're hot, and if you're not, you're not. And boy, we've got them on both sides.
You know, one thing we got to say, Don, and I'm not going to get into your area, but you know, both of us love the Pacers. Gosh, aren't you happy we're going to a Game 7?
Oh, I'm excited. They didn't make my list this week, but they will if they can close this one down Saturday, move on to the next round of the playoffs, and maybe we'll get something going with the Pacers. They're still struggling, but last night on the back of David West, Coach, he just said, climb aboard. We are going to win this game, and I'll tell you what, he just took over. And my daughter, who graduated from Xavier, she was just texting me, telling me she was all fired up to see one of the alumni shine for the Pacers.
Yeah, he did a great job. I thought Mahinemy did a nice job just in his role. They did what they had to do. Let's get started. Who's hot, Don, and who's not?
Well, let's start on the hot side, and we got one Mike Dunleavy a week ago today, Coach, for the Chicago Bulls, hit 8 of 10 threes on his way to scoring 35 points in a Bulls win, which was, you know, a rarity in that series because they ended up the Bulls ended up losing the series to the Wizards. But he scored
35, 8 of 10 threes, which is a Bulls history playoff record for three-point shots made in a playoff game. So Mike Dunleavy leads off, and he was hot, no doubt about that.
But let's hope that Mike can carry that over into next year.
Well, he's getting some age on him, but boy, he can flat shoot it. His dad taught him well. Now to follow up on your earlier comments, Coach, I have to lead the not so hot side off with one Mr. Donald Sterling, the Clippers owner, who was outed, as you put it, on a private conversation and just shown the racist that he is, fined $2.5 million by the league, which is the maximum, and he's banned from the NBA. And Donald Sterling and your racist views, you are not. He's frigid. He's ice cold. He's North Pole. He's South Pole. He's all of them. Now, one guy that is hot is down in your city, Coach K, of Evansville, Indiana. U of E pitcher Kyle Freeland. I don't know if you saw the article, but last week it was in the Wall Street Journal. He came back from throwing in the upper 80s last year, came back from summer ball. He's thrown in the mid-90s. He's recorded 87 strikeouts and only 4 walks for an average of 21.8 strikeouts to walk ratio. He's vaulted his draft stature to at least the top 10, if not the top 5. Coach, he is hot.
Yes, and he's pitching very, very well for an Aces team at the University of Evansville that's playing very well. Kind of reminds me of a guy that we have a pretty good relationship with over the years, being hot, Andy Fennis, who went on to be the number one pick.
No doubt about it, and they're calling Kyle Freeland the next Steven Strasburg. When you're being compared to Steven Strasburg, in fact, his numbers are tremendously better with regards to Ks to walks, and he is definitely hot. And for the listeners that are down in the southern part of Indiana, you guys got to go check him out and report back to the show. Now, on the other side of the not-so-hot is your buddy Cody Zeller's team, the Bobcats. They were swept by the Heat. Now, listen to this, Coach. They are 0-8 all-time in playoff history versus the Heat, and they have lost 20 in a row, counting regular season and playoff games, to the Heat. I would say, Coach K, that the Charlotte Bobcats, thank God they're changing their name next year to the Hornets, are not hot.
They are not.
Coach, we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that the Dow Jones Industrial Average set a new all-time high on Wednesday. Yes, this is a sports show, but we've got to throw this in because this affects us all, particularly your wife's business. But on Wednesday, it closed at an all-time high of 16,580.84 points. And as I look at the tape today, Coach, it looks like it's on its way to a second all-time high made this year. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, a good general measure of the stock market, is hot.
And, folks, it's a great time to say if you are not investing, you better call Edward Jones, Janet Schultheis. I'll give you a little plug for her later with a phone number, but you can go to the CoachKanJoeShow.com website, see a pretty picture of her as well as the phone number and call her and Beth. But it is hot, Don. Maybe it's going to 20,000. But what's not?
Well, I'll tell you who's not hot is Larry Johnson, former star of UNLV and the New York Knicks. He played Grandmama in the great commercials that depicted him while he was playing for the Knicks. But given this whole Donald Sterling controversy, you know what he does? He comes out this week, and he just keeps on causing
the racist controversy, he calls out and says that they should all form an all-black NBA. And I'll tell you what, that is not unifying this country. That's not unifying the league. That's not unifying the people. So, Larry Johnson, you are not hot. You know what, Don? Think about what he's saying. For years, for decades, and rightfully so, the African-American population of this country fought to be on an even keel in baseball. And the Negro Leagues were in place, and then Jackie Robinson literally gave part of his life. He really did, folks, mentally, emotionally, and physically, to take it on his shoulders to be the one to help break that barrier, as did Larry Doby and several others. And then you've got the exact opposite from somebody who should know better than that in Larry Johnson. I think he wants headlines, Don. I think he's hoping to get on TNT's NBA. Larry Johnson, you're not Charles Barkley, and you're not hot. All right, somebody that is hot, Coach, turning to baseball, Jose Abreu of the White Sox. I mean, it is cold up in Chicago right now, and it's probably not going to get warm to probably the beginning of July. But he is leading all the major leagues in baseball with 10 home runs, 31 RBIs. He is red hot, Coach. Not Bobby Abreu, Jose Abreu. He is hot, Don. He's just kicking that ball. And on the other side, I have to say, you know, Paul George, he had 24 points for the Pacers last night, but Monday night when they got beat by the Hawks, not only did he lose that game and ended up having to go to Atlanta with their backs against the wall, but he comes home to his house and he sees that he's been robbed. And they took a number of things, but the one thing that they took from him was the NBA All-Star ring that he earned this year. He's just rock bottom. Ouch. Ouch, Don. Ouch. I did not hear that story. That is very interesting. Literally, someone said, you haven't played since the All-Star game. We're taking your ring. Maybe that's going to turn it around. I hope so. I hope he really comes in. If he's not suspended, I hope he comes in just really fired up on tomorrow. Now, on the other side, on the hot, I'm going to wrap it up with one hot and one not here, and we'll move on. But, you know, Marion University has really been climbing in the ranks here in the Indianapolis area. They've just really changed the face of their university. Their sports teams are getting better. They're small, granted, but they're coming. But one thing they have dominated is collegiate cycling. And listen to this, Coach. They are seeking their fifth straight cycling collegiate road championship this weekend. I mean, to win five, not two, not three, not four, but their fifth in a row at the size of the university they are. Most people listening to the show probably don't even know that they've got a national reputation in cycling, and they're going for their fifth straight collegiate championship. I would say, Coach K, they are hot, hot, hot. Sizzling. The rubber on the tires is burning, Don. And to wrap it all up, since we are going into Game 7 with the Hawks tomorrow, a little statistic here that maybe your listeners don't know or not aware of, but the Atlanta Hawks in Game 7 on the road, they are 0-8 all time. I would say in Game 7s on the road, and I hope it continues to make it 0-9 tomorrow, the Atlanta Hawks are not hot. And let's hope, folks, that they stay not hot. Let's hope, Don Schulteis, that stat you just brought out is the final nail
in what was the fluttering wings of the Atlanta Hawks, and they will be grounded at Bankers Life. Don, before we let you go, and Mike Pegram's coming up in our next segment about the Hoosiers, Don, what are your thoughts on the Paul George situation? What are they saying in Indianapolis? And, I mean, you saw it. What do you think? Letter of the law, spirit of the law?
I think it'll be the spirit of the law. I mean, I think all the pundits up here just don't think that the NBA has the balls to literally suspend him for the game 7. Now, they might do something like that, but the Players Association will probably counter with an appeal, and it'll push this thing out till after the season. And if that suspension holds up, it'll be like the first game of next year or something like that. It won't be in the playoffs. So that's kind of what the feeling is up here. I think it would be a travesty to keep him out. I don't think that it would be good for business, if you will, for the NBA. And if they do that, Coach, they are not hot. Well, it is my hope, Don, that you are correct, and I hope that Paul George will be playing. I just think that this is so huge in Indianapolis. This is so exciting. And as poorly as the Pacers have played since the All-Star break, this can just turn things around. And, Don, as I mentioned earlier on the show, and you might have caught it, I tweeted after the Game 5 loss, and I said, will the last 9 or 10 minutes of the way the Pacers played be the stepping stone to turn this thing around and get the Pacers in a position to win this playoff series? And, boy, that was a big win. Don Schulteis, thanks for being with us. When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not segment. Don Schulteis was sizzling hot, and that is a pretty amazing statistic about Marion University and their cycling championship team. I love hearing that. Don, thanks for being with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have Peaks.com's Mike Pegram on the show. We love having Peaks on the show. He's going to tell us what's going on with IU Hoops recruits and several other things going on. They came out with the Big Ten ACC Challenge schedule. We'll talk about who IU is going to play, mention who Purdue is going to play for Joe. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. You're talking with the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis, from the Coach K and Joe Show. And we have with us, I got to say it, folks, I know some of you are not IU fans, but if you're into college sports, period, college football, college basketball, whatever it might be, then you're missing out if you're not keeping up with Peaks.com. Get in there and be a member of Peaks.com. We're talking with the guy who leads the show there, Mike Pegram. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Hey, Mike, I tell you what, a lot of things, even though we're in the middle of fiery NBA issues with the ignorance of Donald Sterling and the Pacers forcing a Game 7, which has got everybody pumped up. We've still got a lot going on with college recruiting, whether it be basketball or the spring football or anything going on. That's really kind of what we want to catch up with you today about, things that are going on up at IU. And I know they've had some people who they missed out on the basketball side. Coach Green has missed out on. They've had some people that have said they're going to come to IU and play. We picked up a recruit that there's some people, some of the listeners have texted us and said, even Joe's made comments, who is this guy, comes out of the blue that IU lands? He wasn't even recruited by anybody. I know I've thrown a lot out there, but let's just take it a little bit at a time here. Who did IU miss out on that we really wanted, and who have we picked up?
Well, I think they probably really wanted the Temple transfer, Anthony Lee. You know, proven 14 points a game, I think a leading scorer in the league that UConn played in, the American Athletic Conference, and he decided to go to Ohio State. Had some Midwest ties, and that would have been an instant help because he would have played this fall. I also looked at Trevor Thompson, a Virginia Tech kid who also went to Ohio State, who is from Indianapolis originally, 6'11"-ish and 7-foot area. So he would have to sit out here. But then, you know, there's been a lot of kids. They also looked at a kid from Michigan and led his team to the finals of this Michigan highest class, but he chose Georgia in the end. Josh Cunningham, a top 80 ranked player, but more of a small forward, chose to stay home in state, go to Bradley a couple of days ago. So those are the guys that they missed out on. But they had, you know, they were turned over every rock, as Tom Crean talks about, and landed a couple sleeper guys, I call them, this week. Really, you know, that front court issue was the big one, and they addressed that.
When you look at some of the guys that said no, can you, being as intimately connected with the program from not being on the staff but being there and keeping track and watching, what was it that made these guys say no to IU versus Ohio State, Georgia? Is there anything specific? Was it immediate playing opportunity, success? I mean, what was it in your mind that maybe swayed that decision?
Well, I mean, let's face it. Ohio State has won more games the last 10 years than Indiana has, especially the last 5 years, and has had more success. And the other thing is sometimes it's positional. Josh Cunningham, I think, wanted to play on the perimeter a little bit, and Indiana has real needs as the 4 and 5 spot, and he's a 6'7" kid. I think they might have, you know, would have been worried about playing inside because of Indiana's needs there. So he chose, I think, Bradley, where he had some good connections with the coaches and had some guarantees he'd play the wing forward spot. The other kid, Georgia, I think, was more of they had been recruiting him much longer than Indiana. And he actually had an offer from Michigan State that he turned down, I think, because of maybe immediate playing time and longer relationship and just felt the love more from a school that had been recruiting him all throughout the year.
You know, Mike, there's been some questions about some of the guys that have said yes, and one of them I'm going to bring up is the 6'9 commit, Tim Priller from Richland, Texas. What do you think about him? Is he a sleeper? Is he somebody that everybody else missed on? What are your thoughts from what you know and what you've seen on Tim Priller at this point?
The last two recruits are way off the radar. I'll admit that. You know, it's hard to comment on kids that you haven't seen. Normally, Indiana signs somebody that we or somebody that I work with have seen play live and can really kind of give you some in-depth analysis. But these last two signings, these are really, really off the radar, where they've gone for specific skills here, I think, especially with Tim Priller. Tim is a really good shooter. Just won a three-point contest in an all-star game in Dallas last night. But he, you know, and really being recruited to be kind of a pick-and-pop, you know, guy to screen and roll and to take that role, because he is pretty accurate, over 50% in high school. So he has that skill. I think some questions whether he can rebound, because he averaged only 4.7 per game in high school, and whether he can guard people at this level because of foot speed. And we just have a few YouTube videos to check out. But and he doesn't have very many offers of note. You know, Illinois, Chicago, Lamar, Albany, just, you know, that's concerning. But you know, again, where you put your faith in the coaching staff, and sometimes you find these sleepers, that especially bigs, that develop late.
Speaking of the coaching staff, we had a little turnover. One of the assistants left and went to Louisville. Is that correct?
Yeah, Kenny Johnson got a really good financial package from Louisville and got to be the, I think, a lead assistant for Rick Pitino. So it was too good of an opportunity, I guess, in his mind to pass up after 2 years at Indiana, where he was really kind of the third assistant behind guys Steve McClain and Tim Buckley, you know, guys who have been head coaches and been around for a while. And he's gotten a real good reputation for being a recruiter with his strong ties to the East Coast and Washington, D.C. area. And he was identified by Rick Pitino. And, you know, Rick Pitino's a Hall of Fame coach. And when you're an elite assistant, and I think they bumped his salary well above the $200,000 he was making in Indiana, and he took that opportunity. He also had to really good leverage in the situation because Maryland, his alma mater, pursued him really hard too. So he was in a great negotiating position.
So we know that he had ties to the East Coast. You know, how does that affect the staff? I mean, was he more of a focus on recruiting, player development, in-game preparation? What are your thoughts overall on losing Kenny and how we'll fill that spot, if you can?
Well, I mean, all the assistants at Indiana do everything. Kenny had his own games that he would be the lead scout for and in-game preparation. But he was the guy bringing in most of the recent recruits, Noah Vonleh, Stan Robinson, Troy Williams. I think we're all Kenny Johnson recruits, and he was involved with some of the other kids in kind of a support role. He's younger and had been involved heavily with the high school basketball in Washington, D.C., both in AAU and the Catholic League that's so talented there, that he was a really good recruiter. He was also a very smart guy, so a biology major at Maryland, and had a lot of respect for people. So he's immediately a loss, but, you know, you don't know who his replacement is, so it's really hard to say what the impact will be right now. But it does hurt in the short run because there are a lot of kids that he is now recruiting for Louisville that Indiana has been involved with for quite a long time.
Yeah, I would see that little switch and advantage, that kind of a chess matcher, you might say, in making those decisions on Pitino's side. We heard from several listeners this past week or so. Of course, I don't want to get in to them as individuals, but we had a couple of IU players underage picked up during Little Five weekend. One of them, obviously, well, both of them are key players. They wouldn't be on the team, but one of them really considered the leader and leader going forward. What are we to take from that? What's happened to them? Happening to them? What will happen to them next year? Is there suspension involved? Is it you know this was illegal? You do your community service or whatever that might be for Yogi and Stanford. But what are you hearing? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's an interesting weekend. If you've never been to Little Five, there the police are out in real force because they make a ton of money off of the transgressions of youth. I don't know what the penalties will be. There's not a game for such a long time, and I don't know if we'll hear what those penalties will be. I think that the comments from Coach Crean attest to maybe that one of the problems that the team had, and that was leadership this past season. And Yogi, I think, was a guy looked upon to be a leader. And I think being a leader also applies to off the court and not putting yourself into position to get arrested. Especially and to do dumb things, like I think he might be like a couple of weeks short of being 21, and he's, you know, pressing his luck, keeping Stan Robinson, a younger player, out of trouble. I mean, that's one of the things you do as a team is the older guy who's been around, make sure the younger guys don't get in trouble, because, you know, when you're 18, 19, 20, you'll tend to think about doing things when you get bored, or on a big weekend like Little Five, you feel like you need to go out because that's what everyone else is doing. So I think it just showed a little bit of the leadership issue that has to be addressed in this coming year, because it was definitely one of the things that led to the subpar season. I don't think it would be anything major penalty-wise unless it becomes a pattern with these guys. But it did. I think it does point out that guys need to step up both on and off the court for things to turn around.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I absolutely agree with you. I think that it's more of a symptom of the leadership issue. And you know, I went to IU, and I know what Little Five's all about. I've coached kids who are underage, obviously, as a high school coach. And whether we like it or not, kids do things they're not supposed to do. The difficulty for me is just what you mentioned. I think you made a valid point. Here's a guy who's almost 21. He's with a younger player. You just can't put yourself in that type of position. I don't know all the facts, but obviously they were somewhere where openly they could be seen. And I've got to believe, having gone through what Yogi's gone through in the fishbowl that is college basketball and IU basketball, he's got to have that leadership hat on all of the time. You can still have some fun, but you got to pick and choose your spots to do it.
Yeah, there was a lot of people got in trouble last weekend, you just got to be smarter when you have a recognizable face, especially.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, a couple other things let's hit on. The Big Ten ACC Challenge schedule came out. It looks like IU is going to play Pitt, and that's at Indiana, correct?
Yes, it'll be in Bloomington. And the second really good non-conference home game, which is a big news after an embarrassing non-conference home successful last year. I don't like to pull punches with that one, because that was the worst non-conference schedule I think I've ever seen in Indiana, and I don't think I'll get many arguments on that.
Oh, I was from the very beginning questioning why IU, other than putting some wins in the column, would play a non-conference schedule like that. So we've got Jamie Dixon coming in with Pitt. Tom Crean and Jamie Dixon have gone up against each other in the Big East. I think Pitt has three returning starters, but they lose their main scorers. How do you see that game shaping up? It will be a good game. It will be a national game, from the idea that Pitt has always had an outstanding program, as IU has. And how do you see that as we look at it today in May?
Well, it's a game that Indiana can win but easily could lose too. So that makes it kind of interesting. They're not one of the teams that will be picked to finish in the top few of the ACC, especially since they lost their top two scorers. But they've returned some pretty solid players. And they had one guy who was injured midway through the year who may be back, who is almost averaging a double-double. ACL injuries, you just don't know if he'll be back that early in the season. But they have a grind-out style. They don't score a lot of points. They really guard. They're really physical, which has been a problem for Indiana the last few years. You know, you see a little bit when they play Wisconsin. You saw it maybe a couple of years ago when they lost to Butler. So that will be a good test for them. And will be interesting to see how they perform against that level of physicality and defense at Assembly Hall.
And also the Hoosiers will hook up in the Jimmy B Classic with Louisville, correct?
Yeah, they have Louisville in New York City. Also, Larry Brown let leak that SMU is probably coming to Assembly Hall, you know, I think would be in November, probably before all these games. So, and they're going to be really good. They just got runner-up in the NIT, and they got the number one or two recruit in the whole nation, a one-and-done point guard, and their top two players back. So they're actually going to be probably better than Pitt in the preseason rankings. And that'll be the first test, I think, of the season to see where this team is. But Louisville is probably the best team on the schedule, and that'll be in Madison Square Garden, I think, in around December 9th or something like that. I'm going off memory, but it is a tough task, especially since Montreal Harrell decided to come back.
You know, I'm pretty excited about just thinking about these three games. I mean, when you think about it, Mike, this really gets these players focused and keyed in because they're going to be playing in national game-type situations. They've got to be ready to play. I'm excited about the SMU game. I think Larry Brown, first of all, as long as I was coaching, I always looked at Larry Brown as that. He's a coach's coach, regardless of recruiting or the NBA or whatever. I remember him at one of our clinics one time. He said, before I retire from coaching completely, I think I'd like to try the high school level as well. But he's back on the college level. He's done a phenomenal job at SMU, and I think it's going to be exciting to have Larry bring the Mustangs in to play the Hoosiers.
Yeah, he's just a basketball guy. I think he'll probably coach until he dies. That's the kind of guy he is, kind of a Joe Paterno of the college basketball. And you know, I just saw him this weekend in Kansas City out scouting. He gets out as much as any college coach to see, you know, who's out there in high school and to recruit. And he used to be aging well, and he's got the reputation that these young kids like, and he knows the NBA, so not a lot to recruit on.
He loves the game of basketball. Mike, before we end the segment, let's talk a little Hoosier football. It's spring football, the game, where we're at, recruits. How's this team molding? How's this coaching staff coming together? What can you tell Hoosier football fans about this upcoming pigskin season here in May?
Well, I thought that the team looked pretty good in the spring game, as much as you can tell when you're playing against yourself. I think a big key is some of the defensive guys look bigger and stronger for this new 3-4 setup that they're going to go with under new defensive coordinator Brian Knorr. David Kenny had a couple big sacks, a really highly touted recruit that didn't play a lot last year because he got a little bit injured out of Indianapolis, but looks like a perfect fit for hybrid defensive end linebacker in the 3-4. You know, I've heard that Darius Latham has been terrific in the spring and a big time and a great fit for, you know, around the spot and one of the three guys up front in that defense. That was really encouraging, and Trey Roberson played really well in the spring game, throwing the ball for a couple long touchdowns, and Shane Wynn made some really big plays. I think the defense is going to be better. They have some young linebackers, and that'll be really important. I don't know the offense will be better, because they're replacing a first-round draft choice in Cody Latimer, looks like, and a couple other very good receivers. But it'll, you know, still be very tough with Tevin Coleman running the ball. Maybe a little bit more ball control and better defense, and maybe less scoring, but more W's.
Well, I've got to be optimistic defensively. You know, depending on the new defensive coordinator getting – infusing his way of doing things, getting the confidence there. I've got to believe these talented younger players, and I think they took a bad rap as freshmen. People need to understand, you're not talking about a basketball game where it's you infuse one or two young guys with talent and they're playing with three others. You know, you got to have 11 guys doing what they need to do. I got to believe these young defensive guys with a year under their belt, getting stronger, knowledge, college football and how it's played, the speed, the strength. I got to believe this is going to be a step-up year for the defensive end of the Hoosiers.
Yeah, I think it'll be a better team. The schedule's a little bit tougher, so it'll make it a little bit of a challenge to get to the 6-plus wins needed for a bowl game with going to Missouri and going to a good Bowling Green team and the Big Ten schedule as it is. But defense enables you to win closer games, and they should be improved there.
Well, looking forward to it. And I might mention, Mike, before we end the segment, IU's baseball team tearing it up.
Yeah, they've got a nice lead in the Big Ten. This is a team I think that's definitely headed to the postseason after the Big Ten tournament. And I think in the RPI, they're like 2 or 3 in the nation. And they've weathered some injuries, too, to their pitching staff remarkably well, and arguably one of the best hitting teams in the nation. So they have a great chance to return to Omaha in the College World Series, but baseball, you never know. You can always be upset. But they look like the class of the Big Ten and a team that will move on to the NCAA tournament.
Well, it's a great time up in Bloomington to get out and watch baseball. It's a beautiful stadium. And, Mike, if you're out at a game and you run into a former Jasper player of mine and Major League Baseball player and a big IU baseball man, Scott Rowland, make sure you say hi and tell him Coach Schulteis says hi as well.
Yeah, he's a great supporter of the program. Really good guy to have around.
Yeah, he is. Loved him as a player, and he's been a good friend ever since. Mike, we're going to let you go. Thanks for the update on the Hoosiers. Keep at it, because we'll be calling on you again.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right, Mike. Pigs.com. Folks, get over to Pigs.com. Get signed up. You get the Rivals information. You get the Pigs.com information. He's tweeting all the time. Find him on Twitter, @Pigs. Guys, if you want to know what's going on in Bloomington, in the Big Ten, nationally, Mike Pegram and his guys at Pigs.com and the Rivals 150, they'll help you do it. So get there. Get there and see what he's got to say. Folks, we're going to go to break. We're going to have a few minutes to talk, and then we should have Kyle Nedenreep coming up from the Indianapolis Star. We'll talk a little high school hoops and other things going on the high school end in Indianapolis. This is Coach K. It's Friday, and you are thanking God it's Friday because you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and maybe Cody Zeller's listening to the show right now. You know, Cody, you had a good first year in the NBA. Regardless of what people want to say, you go in there as basically what would have been your junior year of college. You made the playoffs for the first time. Charlotte made the playoffs first time in years. But as Don Schulteis told us in When You're Hot, When You're Not segment, the Bobcats just, they're not hot. They just weren't hot. They have never won an NBA playoff game. Speaking of the great things in sports, great sports story, feel-good sports story, feel-good period story, count your blessings story. Young man down in the southern part of the state of Indiana, if you're listening to the show outside of the tri-state area, meaning Indiana, Illinois, Kentucky, even Ohio, and we have listeners all over the continental United States, and we have listeners outside of the country, it's via the Internet, folks. That's the great thing about the net. You know, we have people over in Europe, in the Middle Eastern area, Eastern Europe, listening to us in the military who have connections from this area, out in California as well, West Coast, East Coast. Parker Boozy, B-U-S-E, young high school player out of Tecumseh High School, in Linville, Indiana. It's located in Warwick County, southern part of the state. As a junior, this 6'4", he's 6'4", 220, somewhere around there. I know of his family, very athletic family, outstanding athletes. Basketball player, averaged about 13 points a game. And, you know, he had what any parent would just cringe over. They found a brain tumor in Parker, and he missed basically going through the chemotherapy, lost his hair. 30 of his high school classmates shaved their heads in support. He missed out basically on his senior basketball season. I think he played a little, averaged 1 point a game, lost 20 pounds. Here's a guy, you know, sports isn't everything. His life was everything. And Parker Boosie, through the help of medicine and the grace of God, who gives everybody these wonderful abilities to help others, he has beaten this brain tumor. He's back healthy, even after missing basically his senior season, where he did play a few games, only averaged 1 point. This was a junior that would have gone into his senior year and definitely been the leader of the team. Got over this terrible cancer, this tumor that hit him, and he has received a offer to play basketball at Hanover College here in Indiana. And he will go to Hanover in the fall and be a part of their high school basketball team. Just so excited that this story has such a positive move through it. Here was an outstanding athlete, but more importantly, just a good young man, somebody's son. You know, he's the kids that I had in the classroom or on the basketball court that you see every day that your kids run around with. And at such a young age, he contracts just that horrible disease, you know, and has this tumor on the brain. He goes in, you know, no matter how positive you are, no matter how much faith you have, it really is a difficult thing to grasp, put your arms around, and hang on to and say, we're going to beat this. But he misses out. And for young people, folks, the band, plays, music, sports, that's a big part of their life. It's a big part of their life. And after missing out on a senior season, Coach Kevin Oxley talked about it in the article. He lost his ability to jump. He was a magnificent jumper. And, again, I know of his family background, and they're very athletic. It looks like, you know, my life's back, and that's the most important thing. But he gets that little extra special piece. He can go on to college and have a chance to continue doing what maybe he believed he'd never get to do again, and that's play competitive basketball, team basketball, where it matters, where there's a scoreboard, where it counts. And as Don Schulteis from our When You're Hot, You're Hot, When You're Not segment just tweeted me, Parker Boosie, you are hot because you just defeated the biggest foe you've ever faced. And we are excited for Parker Boosie. It's a great story coming out of Linville, Indiana, Tecumseh. And, folks, there's a lot of other young people who are battling serious diseases. And it doesn't matter what age you are, but we got to keep in there. We got to keep praying for them. And we got to keep believing that they can beat it. And Parker Boosie, thank you to the grace of God and the wisdom, knowledge that he gives to these wonderful doctors who keep trying not just to treat the disease, but cure these diseases and finding the most incredible ways to give these kids opportunities. So we wish Parker Boosie tremendous success going forward at Hanover. We also wish Hanover College success for giving Parker this opportunity, and he will be a benefit to their team. And, you know, maybe, Joe, maybe we'll get an opportunity to have Parker on the show for a few minutes at some point, talk to him.
Yeah, I'll try to reach out to the Tecumseh family and see if we can get him on. That'd be a great guest to have, someone that, you know, kind of puts things like the Pacers' troubles into perspective a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we get caught up on the show because this is what people get excited about, athletic sports, the news that goes on with it. And then you get things like the Donald Sterling situation that kind of gives some perspective. But, you know, one thing I do want to mention on that, folks listening to the show, you got to be careful how you respond to the hate and the ignorance of a Donald Sterling. Because in your emotional response, you almost become, you take on a little bit of that persona. When you start hoping the person will die, or hoping that he gets beaten up, or hoping that he gets put away, we can't let hate do what hate wants to do. Hate wants to steal joy. Hate wants to steal peace, common sense, and how we deal with one another. So I know we all go through difficulties, and I know this is a sports talk show, but Coach K talks about other things too. When difficult things happen to us, when difficult things happen around us, we have to be real careful how we respond. Because what happens is we're being infected by the same thing that we're coming up against. So let's be careful of it. Okay, we've got our next guest. He's on the show. He is the Indianapolis Star High School Hoops beat writer and everything high school sports. You can follow him on Twitter. Kyle Nedenrip is with us from the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, welcome to the Coach K and Joe Show once again.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we love having you, Kyle, because I've said this before on the show. Indianapolis is not just a great sports town from an NBA or pro perspective. It's not just what I call the hub of college sports as well, from the NCAA and some of the great teams, not just Division I, but II and NAIA and III and everything that kind of radiates out from Indianapolis. But it's a high school sports mecca as well, with AAU tournaments, top-notch high school players in Indianapolis and coming to Indianapolis for games and different things like that. And even though the basketball season from the standpoint of high school IHSA is over, and what a great season it was, hoops in Indianapolis is not over. You're tweeting all the time about players who are getting scholarships, transferring, whatever it might be. The AAU circuit is running strong through Indianapolis. Just a lot of stuff going on in Indianapolis.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's always, there's always something to cover or, you know, something going on. And we kind of got into, the post-high school season, you know, AAU basketball now kind of picks up. And we've got a tournament coming here in a couple of weeks. The Adidas May Classic, which used to be down in Bloomington, is coming here this year. So, and then, of course, July is always a big month and several tournaments here that month. But yeah, there's always definitely something happening. And, you talked about, every different level, game 7 tomorrow night in Indianapolis for the NBA. And, there's always a lot of high school and college stuff going on as well. So there's never too much of a downtime.
Well, that's where we have to start, and that's with Game 7. You're at the Star. You're at the place where news generates from the center of Indiana. Game 7 coming up. The Pacers go into Atlanta, do what a lot of people didn't think they could, although I did tweet after Game 5, Kyle, that the last 9 or 10 minutes of the loss of Game 5, I thought the Pacers – looked like a little bit of the Pacers that we were used to, and could that be the stepping stone into somehow going into Atlanta and then pulling this series off? But having said that, we're dealing with the potential suspension of Paul George. What are you hearing? What are your thoughts?
First of all, Atlanta, they give Indiana some problems just because of their personnel and the way they play. And the Pacers have, had more success with the smaller lineup. Obviously, Roy Hibbert is missing in action here in this series, definitely, and was through, late in the season. But Atlanta's really not that great of a team. So I don't know what this says exactly, even if you win Game 7 and struggle to beat an 8 seed in the Eastern Conference, which is maybe one of the worst conferences in the history of NBA basketball, to barely knock them off. But regardless, if they can win this game tomorrow, you're moving on to the next round and you don't even worry about it. But if Paul George is suspended, it would be, I've watched the replay of that a few times, and, there's no way he should be suspended. There's players farther on the court than that, during the course of a game, where guys kind of come out after, a teammate makes a shot or something, or, he barely took two steps on the court, it was never any intent to join the melee. And, I don't know anything other than what I've read and, what's been tweeted out there, but I have a hard time believing, that's the spirit of the rule, if you're going to suspend him, because there was never any, he was never making a motion to join the fight or anything like that. But, I know this happened in 97 with the Knicks, and there was, a couple of guys suspended who I think Ewing and Allen Houston, who barely came on the court. And, there's more recently, Amari Stoudemire was suspended, I think, 7 years ago. This was something similar. But, I'd be hard-pressed for anybody, in the NBA offices to take a look at that and say, yeah, Paul George needs to be suspended. They say it's, if you leave the vicinity of the bench, and he never left the vicinity of the bench. So I can't believe that that would happen, but certainly we've seen crazier things happen, so who knows. But it'd be a shame if they did suspend him.
Kyle, I look at this situation with the Pacers, and I applaud Frank Vogel for finally making that decision and changing up that lineup, going with a little different look. I'm sure that he's probably was pushed, talked to about doing it sooner. There's consternation. You want to be true to the guys that you know can move you forward, but at some point they just quit moving you forward. You're there every day. You've got the beat writers for the Pacers around you. What's happened to Roy Hibbert? Is this mental? Is it physical? And they're just not talking about it. But what really happened to Roy Hibbert through this last month of the season?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows really, but other than maybe the people in the locker room. But you watch him out there, and it's just, he looks like a guy who's just lost all of his confidence. And I don't know if it was the Bynum trade. Maybe from what they say, he's maybe somewhat of a sensitive guy. So he felt like they were trading to upgrade his position, and then maybe looking to take some of his playing time away. Maybe that messed with his head a little bit. I don't know. I mean, he's completely, I think, I heard Mark Boyle from the Pacers radio say last night before the game, if he's out there for any span of time, it's almost, that's almost wasted minutes at this point, because he's not really bringing anything to the table. But there was a couple of plays late in the game there where defensively he made a difference, I thought. But really, the rebounding is really an issue. For whatever reason, he's not attacking the glass like he should at his size. And it just seems like Atlanta's getting a lot of free looks at the basket because of the offensive rebounding. But I think it's just at this point, you almost have to turn the page and. Maybe hope he gives you something better in the next series and just chalk this up as maybe a bad matchup. But, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to get inside a guy's head, and he just looks like a guy who's either something has happened, internally where he feels like people don't trust him, or I don't know. He's almost a completely different guy than he was early in the season, and it's hard to pinpoint exactly why that is.
Well, he really is, and not only just early in the season, but all of last year when he was the major difference in the playoffs and teams were going into this season saying, we've got to be able to counter the Pacers and Hibbert, because he was such a factor with the people's ability to get to the rim. And he's looked slow getting up and down the floor. He's looked slow getting into position to set screens. His angles are bad. But, you know, one thing I've noticed, Kyle, and I don't know if it gets brought up very much in the circles around the Pacers and in you guys' discussions, the Pacers, the last couple games I've watched them and really watched them as a basketball coach, I'm surprised. And even last night, they are a poor half-court passing team. At least they have been.
Yeah.
Hibbert had his man sealed a couple times. They couldn't get it over the defender's head. They get double-teamed, and they try to make a straight pass out of it instead of a pass fake with a bounce pass. Some of their passes from the top of the circle area, top of the key area to the wing are long, extended passes that are easy for people to get into passing lanes. Has there been any discussion about just some of the key fundamental issues that are going on with this team?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I mean, I was watching last night late in the game, and, you know, I was kind of half watching. I was doing something with my kids, too, and somebody made a bad pass from the wing back to the top of the key, and I rewinded just to see, you know, it was George Hill, who, you know, was a key possession in the game, and that ended up being a steal and layup for Atlanta. I think Shelvin Mack actually got the steal and put him up by three, but, you know, especially for, you know, I was thinking maybe it was a David West out on the wing, but especially for your point guard to make that, you know, lazy of a pass, you know, in that situation, you know, it was an easy steal, really, for Mack to just jump in front of that pass and take it the other way, but, yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of, you know, the Pacers were never a great offensive team. You know, they were, you know, the defense is really what made them special, you know, early on. And, you know, probably two-thirds of the way through the season, that looks like what it was going to maybe carry them to the NBA Finals finally this year. There's a lot of things. They'd never get easy shots, it seems like. And partly I think that's passing. Partly it's just, you know, I think they probably need an upgrade maybe at the point guard position. You know, I like George Hill, but I'm not sure if he's a starting point guard necessarily. I think he can be a contributor, obviously, but I think maybe that would help them if they could get a guy at point guard. But yeah, I agree. There's a lot of things that kind of seem wrong with them right now.
Last thing on the Pacers before we touch on some high school stuff. What do you expect? What should people expect from the fans and from this team coming out in this Game 7? Even though it's a team that we should have handled probably in 5, we're lucky to be in Game 7. What will it be like in Banker's life in this Game 7?
I expect a ruckus crowd. I think the place will be going nuts. I think the Pacers will win. You know, I think they will. You know, I think Atlanta's going to give them some. You know, obviously they have given them trouble throughout this series, and really Jeff Teague is. You know, the Pacers don't have any answer for if Jeff Teague, you know, wants to get to the basket. If he can pretty much do anything he wants, they haven't been able to stop him that often. You know, I think. But I do think, you know, especially, you know, we got to wait to see what happens here with Paul George, and I expect he won't be suspended. But, you know, that obviously if he is, that changes everything dramatically. But I think the Pacers will win Game 7. You know, that won't cure everything, and hopefully people don't think that's the case because, like I said earlier, I mean, this is not a great Atlanta team by any means. And, you know, I don't think you know, being pushed to the limit by that team and getting out of the series and surviving, obviously that's good to move on to the next round, but shouldn't be throwing any parades for them. But I think the Pacers will win tomorrow. Crazier things have happened, you know, and Atlanta's played well up here. But, you know, I think after winning that game last night, I think they'll take care of business tomorrow, you know, as long as George can play. If he can't, then that's going to put a crimp in things. But I think it'll be a great crowd. I think it'll be a Pacers win tomorrow.
Well, you're out and about in the gyms, AAU tournaments. College coaches are in and out of town. I don't know if you hear any other things that are going on, but we've had a couple questions from people that wanted to know, with Kentucky retaining all these guys that decided to hang around, has there been any comments thrown around up in Indy on Trey Lyles' thoughts about how his freshman season, where he'll fit in, where he might have been looking at a one-and-done, some of these guys coming back? Anything being talked about up in concerning Trey and the Kentucky situation with a lot of those guys deciding to return?
That's a good question. I haven't talked to him actually since a lot of these guys have decided to come back. Last I talked to him was, you know, right before the Mr. Basketball was announced, and you know, so that's been about 3 weeks ago. But you know, I think, you know, Trey will fit into that lineup just fine. I think, you know, he's you know, he's definitely ready for the college game. You know, I will be interested to see, because they've got so many front court guys coming back, you know, how they're going to use Trey. But he's capable. You know, he's definitely a guy who can play out on the wing some, you know, with his skill set and his size. He's a very versatile kind of guy. But yeah, I think he'll definitely fit in. It's not like he's going to redshirt or something. You know, he's going to play a big role for him. And, you know, I'd be surprised if he didn't have a great, you know, freshman season. Now, I don't know if he is one and done. I mean, I think that's kind of you kind of wait and see how the season goes, and then, you know, make your decision from there. But yeah, you know, I think you kind of, you know, in the back of your mind, I think, sure, yeah, that's something, you know, something that would be appealing, especially, you know, going to Kentucky, where we just had a history of producing one and done guys. But, you know, from talking to him and his dad, I mean, they're going to, you know, they see how it goes freshman year, and if that comes to fruition and he's slated to be a high draft pick, then you'll look at it then. But yeah, you know, I think he's still got a ways to go to get to that point. And obviously, I hadn't even played a college game yet, so I think it's kind of early to judge that. But you know, I will be curious to see. You know, they bring a lot of guys back, and I'm sure guys who are hungry to play, just like him. And I think that'll only help them, you know, going up against those guys in practices. You know, that's got to. I mean, you're going against, you know, what do they have? 8 McDonald's All-Americans on next year's roster. I mean, that can only help you to battle those guys every single day. So I think that'll be a benefit as much as anything.
And, you know, I follow you on Twitter a lot. You get great stuff out there besides the great article links you connect people with. You're in the gyms. You're seeing these college coaches come in and out. Who is catching a lot of their look up in Indy right now from a high school standpoint? Is there a couple of guys that you're hearing a lot about from the standpoint of the colleges are very interested in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and there's a couple guys that I saw last weekend who are starting to, you know, maybe not the most talked about guys, but guys who are starting to get their name out there. And Seth Adelsberger from Peru is one of those guys. He's about 6'10", you know, pretty, you know, lanky. You know, he runs the floor pretty well for a big guy. You know, Ball State just offered him. He's got a few others. There was, you know, several schools there watching him. He plays on the same AAU team with Ryan Klein from Carmel, who, you know, just got an offer from Purdue, and also Ball State had just offered him here, I think, a couple nights ago. But that's a kid that I don't know a whole lot of people know about, Adelsberger kid from Peru. And I wouldn't be surprised if he started getting some, you know, some bigger, you know, BCS-type looks here. As he plays in front of more and more college coaches, you know, because of his upside and the fact that he's, you know, pretty versatile for a big guy, you know, able to get up and down the court real well. So, you know, he's a guy that I think maybe is a little bit under the radar. You know, obviously most of the guys in Indy are seen often. You know, KJ Walton from Brownsburg, I think, is a name that will continue to attract a lot of, you know, BCS colleges. He's got, you know, Minnesota had offered him not too long ago, Xavier. So he's already getting some looks. Devin Kennedy up from the Mishawaka Marion High School. He's a point guard who's getting some BCS looks and also picking up some offers. I think almost half the MAC or maybe half the MAC at this point's offered him. So, you know, that 2015 class, there's not the, you know, not the Blewett, Blackman, Lyles is necessarily, but there's a lot of good players that you know, maybe are flying a little bit under the radar, and you know, not a class that just knocks you over with that high level five star type of kid, but there's a lot of good players. So I think it'd be interesting to see how some of those guys are recruited as things move forward. And you always find out a lot more in July too. You know, there's only one open weekend, which we just had last weekend, for coaches to come out and see these kids. But, you know, there's obviously more opportunities in July, and you kind of get a better sense at that point of who they're looking at, and things get a little more serious at that time. You know, guys start to, whittling down their lists, or, maybe a new school comes in and makes an offer. So I think that'll be, I think we'll know a lot more about kind of where these recruitments stand, as July progresses and wraps up that evaluation period.
Last thing, Kyle, before we let you go, enjoy your weekend. This time of year on the high school level, coaches are moving, whether they are moving because they were asked to, whether they're looking for a new opportunity. Obviously, we had the situation happen at Noblesville. Depending on what side of the street you're on, whether you think it was good or bad, I don't like it. But what are some of the jobs that are open? Have any been filled? What are your thoughts on leading candidates? Anything going on in the high school coaches' job market right now?
Yeah, there's a couple of the bigger ones open now. Our Brebeuf Jesuit is still open, and heard some names on that, but they're still deciding. And then Noblesville, obviously, which I haven't heard too much about, since they made the change. Greenfield Central's open. And then I think the bigger news from, I can't remember, a few days ago, maybe last week, but Zach Hahn at Center Grove was hired there at Center Grove, the former Butler player and former assistant under Mark James at Ben Davis, got the job there. And I think highly of Zach and think he'll do well. And I know there's a lot of good candidates for that job and a lot of experienced candidates. He's going into the conference where you got guys who've been around for a long time, like Mark James, like Doug Mitchell, like Jack Kiefer, Scott Hetty. I mean, that's a very veteran league of coaches, and Zach will definitely be the inexperienced one of the bunch. But I think he's kind of got an old soul to him. I think he obviously under Mark James, he's learned a lot. Played under Brad Stevens, so you can't ask for better mentors than that. So I think that'll be interesting to see how that goes with him. I'm definitely curious to see about that Brebeuf job. Heard some interesting names there, and I think that'll wrap up here before too long. And then, Noblesville, I think, will be a tough situation. I'm curious to see, who ends up getting that one, because you're really, following a very good coach and what may be perceived as a tough situation the way he was treated there. But obviously it's a great job. They play, they always have good crowds there, always are competitive. Maybe not the most talented, teams, but McCullough always did a good job. Be interesting to see who they get there. But those are a couple of them that are out there. And really, it seems like this year, and I don't know the numbers exactly, but it seems like there's fewer openings this year than there have been, in the last couple of years. But, those are a few of the big ones around here. And a couple of them that are still yet to be filled.
Well, I know with the financial situation in a lot of schools, teachers retire, they don't fill the positions, so the coaching opportunities aren't there as much, coaches don't move as much, and boards and administrations are a little bit more infrequently making decisions to make changes. I don't like when vendettas and politics play a role in somebody losing their position, because I know what coaching is, Kyle. It takes a lot of time of your free life. You spend a lot of your own money on your players. It's unfortunate what happened at Noblesville. Right, wrong, or indifferent, whether a vendetta was carried on and to find a little gray area to make a big mountain out of, that's in the hands of the beholder, but I wish Coach luck there. Kyle, thanks for being with us. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be calling on you soon, because high school athletics never stops anymore, no matter what season it is for any sport, and you're the guy that can definitely tell us what's going on.
Well, I appreciate that, and anytime it'd be great. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, follow Kyle on Twitter. Read his Indianapolis Star stories. He does a great job. He doesn't just write about the event. He writes about the people involved in the event. And that's what you really – that's when you find out what sports is all about. Hey, we're going to go to break when we come back. Joe and I will have some mailbag possibly, a little bit about some of the things that have gone on in sports this past week, what might be coming up. But, folks, listen, regardless of the Donald Sterling situation, regardless of other things, hey, watch your response. Don't become a hater because of the hate. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers!
Coach K speaks the truth!
Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's Mailbag.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we are ready. We don't have as many questions as usual, but we do have some questions for the coach. But if you also want to get in on this before the end of the show, I have a question for him, 773-897-6325, or you can text me. I'm the question reader at 812-630-2449. Coach, first question, and this is kind of, I guess, for you and I, do you or Joe follow the NHL? I'll let you answer first.
Yeah, I follow the NHL. I mean, I'm not completely up on it. I think we had a viewer ask us about the playoffs a couple weeks ago. Our listener asked us about the playoffs a couple weeks ago. But sure, I do. The Chicago Blackhawks, great history, and finally, in recent years, big winners. You've got Anaheim with a good team. I mean, there's a lot of good teams out there in the NHL playoffs. You got the LA Kings, Minnesota, the Flyers of Philadelphia are in there. The Rangers, who can forget the great history of the New York Rangers? And Joe, the Boston Bruins, Montreal Canadiens, and of course, Joe, I throw it back to you with your Pittsburgh Penguins.
Pittsburgh Penguins, their first game is tonight versus the New York Rangers. I'm hoping that they can make it through, and I'd love nothing more than a Chicago Blackhawks versus Purdue. Oh, my God. Purdue and the hockey team, thank God. Pittsburgh Penguins. The way this year has been going with football, basketball, baseball, I'm just happy we don't have a hockey team. Second question. This was just texted in to me and does not have a name. I could give their number out, but they may not want that given out. Coach, you just talked to Kyle Dedenrip about openings up in central Indiana. What jobs exactly are open in southern Indiana?
Well, Joe, you may know as many as I do. I know that a Floyd Central job is open, and folks might remember the days of when Floyd Central had the great teams, and Pat Graham went on to play at Indiana. Mr. Basketball was there, and they've struggled on and off over the last 20 years. They've had their struggles. That job's open. Edgewood near Bloomington is open, and Edgewood is a consolidation. The main area there is Ellettsville. It's a choice job, actually, I think. It's a great community to live in, plus you're close to Bloomington. I think one of our contributors and HBCA director and former head coach at Eastern Green is a candidate for that job. I wish Andy Igel a lot of luck on that. Pike Central is open in this part of the state, Pike County consolidation. It's had some down years. It's a county for all those kids to get to, so it's had its difficulties. Gibson Southern, which was filled, it is now reopened because of some situations that have happened with the gentleman who was hired. I'm not going to get into him because I don't have enough firsthand knowledge of everything that happened, but that coach has resigned, and Gibson Southern is now open. So what really happens here, Joe, is as some of these jobs get filled, then these other jobs open back up again. And so you also have girls' positions that are open. I believe the Castle girls' job is open. It may be filled. I don't know. Of course, in Paradise, Pike Central's varsity girls' job was open. So there's a number of jobs that are open, but there'll be a few more as we get into this the month of May, and you get retirements and you get teachers who change jobs, coaches that go elsewhere. Those will open up a little bit more.
Okay, next question is Pacer-related. If the Pacers win tonight and make it in further into the playoffs, do you see them activating Bynum?
Well, I would think they would have to, based on the way Roy Hibbert is playing. You know, Kyle Nedenrip, our last guest, mentioned that, you know, some people think maybe Roy Hibbert had his feelings hurt because they brought Bynum in to upgrade his position. That would be absolutely wrong thinking by Roy Hibbert, Joe. I mean, Roy Hibbert, they brought Bynum in to protect Roy Hibbert, to give him an opportunity to play more freely, get some minutes of rest, not worry about foul situations. So if he misread that situation, you know, that's bad on Roy, because absolutely it was clear why Larry Bird and his staff decided to sign Bynum, plus keep him from going to some other team. Now, do they activate him if he can play? But he's been injured the whole year, and he brings baggage to the table. He's not a great teammate, but in a playoff series, he may be what the Pacers need. And I'm not sure what his physical status is. Maybe one of our listeners can text us and let us know what they're hearing up in Indianapolis as far as Roy Hibbert's physical status is concerned, or not Roy, Andrew Bynum's physical status is. But if he can play, if he can get up and down the floor and be a positive for the Pacers, I think you got to activate him. You got to see if you can get some minutes out of it.
Okay, next question. If Donald Sterling invited you, and I'll change this a little bit. I'll give a little plug here. To Wings and Rings for Wings and Beer, I edited that part. Would you go with him?
No, but if Donald Sterling invited me to sit down and talk about what went wrong with him, I would absolutely sit down and talk to him about the ignorance, why his statements were grievous and terrible. I don't agree with what Donald Sterling said. I think what's happening right now is the right thing to do. I hope that before his time on this earth is over, he will be enlightened, have an epiphany, will come to an understanding that regardless of the culture he was brought up in, that's just not... You don't judge a human being by his race, creed, color, culture. You judge the human being by the human being, if you judge him at all. Again, as I said earlier, don't let hate make you into a hater. Just don't let it happen. It wants to steal it. It wants to take it away, your joy and your common sense. Donald Sterling obviously is ignorant of some things. Regardless of how smart he is, regardless of his ability to make money, to take opportunity and go with it, he's just ignorant of some things. Was it lost in how he was brought up, how he sees things now? I don't know. But sometimes it's not the money. We get the money, and we think we're above things because people cater to us because they want some of the money. And I'm not going to get into whether she should have been or shouldn't have been, right or wrong, but this 28, 30-year-old gal hanging around with Donald Sterling wasn't because she liked his personality, obviously. So you guys can figure it out from there. But, no, I probably wouldn't go to Wings and Rings with him, but I would sit down and talk with him about his thought process and things like that. Joe, we got about 10 minutes or so to go on the show. Before we get to that end or get into some more questions, I do want to thank Kyle Nedenrip for being with us. I do want to thank Don Schultheis for When You're Hot, You're Hot, When You're Not segment. Another great job. And for you and the sound clip leading into that. And I want to thank Mike Pegram being with us. All good stuff. And, Joe, I might add that a former Jasper resident, former sports writer at the Herald, Mike Rubino, I call him Bino, he's been writing some articles for ESPN. And I talked to Mike via social media last night and asked him if he would come on the show at some point. And he said absolutely. And I know you probably remember Bino, and we'll work on getting him on the show. He's a writer up in Indianapolis right now, does some magazine writing, feature articles and things, and he's also writing some articles for ESPN. So, Joe, I think he'll be a good guest for us.
Yeah, I've been working ahead on lining up some guests. I'll tell you, for Jasper Today's May issue coming out May 15th, we're going to do a special motorsports edition, Jasper's Connection to Motorsports, and I had a really nice interview with Spike Gelhausen, and we might get him on at some point. And then also Mel Harder, has got a nice job up there with the Motor Speedway, and that'd be great. But I'll tell you what I've also thought about. Next, if we can get the Pacers, even if the Pacers don't win tonight, I'm going to call the boss. I'm going to call Nancy Leonard, and I think we just need to get Slick back on and to discuss how the playoffs are going, hopefully, or to just talk about, to put a cap on the Pacers season. We'd love to have Slick back on.
Absolutely, Joe. Good thinking. I love the boom, baby. Get Slick Leonard back on this show. You know, speaking of the Harders, Mel, of course, motorsports, a big part of their family. Mark Harder, Tubi, our buddy, growing up, he's involved in it as well. I think he lives out in Arizona. So we'll have to look in some of those combinations. Folks, we talk about every sport, any sport. Don Schultheis brought up going for a fifth straight cycling championship at Marion University. I didn't know that, Joe. That's quite an accomplishment. And obviously, for our listeners who don't know, former Jasper basketball player and Lincoln Trail player Caleb Begley will be going to Marion University to further his basketball career in college. That's a university that's doing things up in Indianapolis. So we'll hear more about them. Joe, did we have any more mailbag questions, or are we done with those? Where are we at?
That was it for this week.
Okay.
I had one more text. Go ahead. I said I had one more text to me, but I wasn't sure if I was going to ask it or not. So,
well, that's up to you, Joe. We can always decide whether we're going to answer or not. I did get a text here from Eddie David, who texted us earlier. I'm not a Bynum fan. Would like to see him gone. Adds to the current disease or bad attitude plaguing the team. You know, he might be right. I have never been a Bynum fan of him as a teammate. Wherever he's played, there's been issues with his effort. There's been issues with his attitude. There's been issues with the chemistry of the team. And, folks, sometimes we look at these guys and we see their size and we see their talent and we see their ability. But you know what? sometimes their heart is no bigger than a pea, a shriveled up pea, shriveled up, dehydrated green pea. And unfortunately, Andrew Bynum, could he help the Pacers? Yes, if he's healthy, and he's healthy physically and healthy mentally and healthy with his heart. But we accept the text. He is not somebody that the Pacers, that a lot of Pacer fans feel good about, but he does. He did potentially fill a void a few minutes a game to help Roy Hibbert. But I'll say it again, folks. I tweeted after Game 5. The last 9 minutes of that Game 5 loss, the Pacers looked like the Pacers we know. Not all the way, but they were getting there. Was that the springboard to bring them back? Game 6, big win in Atlanta. Game 7 at Bankers Life. What else we got, Joe?
Okay, I have one more question. I've decided to ask it. It says, has Coach K applied for any openings? He has hinted to getting back into coaching.
Joe, you put me on the spot. Coach K is interested in getting back, but will not go any further than that. Otherwise, I love doing the Coach K and Joe show, and I love talking with our listeners, and I love bantering back and forth with Joe. But we'll see. We always look at future opportunities and the timing and whether it's right, because, you know, I look at things not just by the position. I look at things how it affects my family, how it affects some of the other things that are important to me and the things that I like to do. But I will tell you, coaching is high on that list, because you're not just coaching again. You're never going to get credit for what you do in coaching. There are always going to be critics. You're always going to have somebody mad at you. For every person that says you're doing a good job, at least one and a half are going to be saying he could do better. So you do it because you want to make a difference, because you want to help young men or young women see their potential, accomplish things they never thought possible, see a community share in success, and have good, a feel-good period in their life to add to what's going on, to make things better, to help them deal with other situations that might not be good. That's what sports can do. That's what high school sports, college sports, and if you watch the Pacer fans, the Atlanta fans, that's what the pro sports can do too as well. But you never do it because you're going to get a lot of credit. Folks, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to coaching, you will never get a lot of credit. You will never get, at least on the high school level, paid for the time you put in, but you don't do it for that. You're a servant leader, folks. You don't do it for that. You're a servant leader. And that's why sometimes you shake your head as a coach or a teacher. God, we got great teachers out there, Joe. They just never get enough credit. You just shake your head and say, man, can I keep doing this? So that's how I'm going to answer that, Joe.
Okay, your friend asked us to remind the people that it's when it's getting close to the show. We have 1 minute left, and if we do go over, you can go to www.coachkandjoeshow.com probably about 15 minutes after the show, and the podcast will be available on our website, and you can listen to what you missed from there.
And we're going to try to split some things out going forward, so if you want to just listen to a particular interview or the when it's, what's hot is hot, what's not is not, you'll be able to do that on the podcast if you want to share that with some other people. We may have to get Jeff Cochran back on, Joe. The Reds are struggling, but we're going to have to get his take on that and other Major League Baseball. Joe, take us to the end of the show.
Well, first of all, I know he's up in heaven listening to us right now, scratching his head at most of the things we've said. But, today would have been my father's 91st birthday, and I wanted to wish Dick Milligan a happy birthday in heaven, and I miss you every day. And for those of you listeners, I want to let you know there are baseball games, there are track meets, there are golf matches, there are tennis matches. There's all kinds of sports, youth sports and high school sporting events out there to go to. And for the money you spend, you can't find better entertainment. So I invite you to go out and support those this week. For Coach K, I'm Joe, hoping for a Pacer win. We'll talk to you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.